All right, this is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. This is Watchman on the Wall, End Time Internet Ministry, calling on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that was, the one that is, and the one to come, the Almighty, the Everlasting Father. So glad to be with you this evening, this afternoon. Amen. We're out here, amen, on the air, telling you about some good news. Good news. I mean, excellent news. News that, amen, the world needs to hear today. That is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Amen. So glad to have with me Brother Tim Jackson out of down there in Texas. I know he said he lived close to Dallas, on the other side of Dallas. Amen. So glad to have him with me tonight. Amen. He's my co-host, man. And we got some fire. We're going to set you on fire. Amen. If you want to be saved, I can tell you the man who can save you, Jesus Christ. No other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. At this time, before I say anything else, I'm going to get myself together. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and have prayer, and I want Tim, amen, to kick it off. Amen. For tonight, amen. I want him to be on fire. I want the Lord to set him on fire, because our main goal is to win souls to Christ before he comes back. Amen. At least, amen. Get saved before the rapture, because the rapture is right on the edge of time. Amen. We're living out on the edge of time. My heart is heavy tonight. My heart is on fire tonight. My heart wants to tell you that Jesus Christ, amen, loves you, and that God gave his only begotten Son, came and died on Calvary's cross for our sins, that we can have eternal life. Whatever you do in this life, whatever you do, don't miss heaven. Amen. Don't miss the cross. Oh, man. Don't die. Yeah. Don't die without Jesus Christ saving your soul, because you only got one. And if you miss this trip, my God, my heart cries out for you. Amen. I want you to listen to what the word of God says. I don't have nothing to say. Tim Jackson don't have nothing to say. It's the word of God. Amen. We didn't make this up. We didn't think this up. Amen. It's in the word of God. So we want you to do today. I want you to go down and pray with us. Brother Tim, come on. I'm gonna have prayer, and then Brother Tim gonna break it on in there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you one more time, thanking you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your long suffering that you have given us to come to you. We ask you right now to bless Tim as he come on the air, Lord. Lift his voice, let him cry out, let him blow the trumpet, Lord. Let the world know that he, amen, know a man from Galilee, amen, the one that died upon the tree 2,000 years ago, came back from the dead with all power in heaven and earth. Amen. Let him know, amen, that you'll be with him wherever he go, wherever he hold up your word. And we are here to hold up the name of Jesus. We're not here to talk about ourselves. We're not here to talk about somebody else. We're here to talk about Jesus Christ, to let you know, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. We ask you right now in Jesus' name, go with him and strengthen him in his word, in his spirit, and in his love that he have for you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Brother Tim, go ahead and work with it a little bit.
Amen, brother. God bless you. Amen. It's good to be here. And it's always a blessing to speak to the children of the Most High God. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. I'm thankful for this opportunity. Amen. I'm grateful for my life, soul, health, and strength. I'm grateful for your life, your soul, and your health, and your strength. I am grateful for our spiritual wisdom and knowledge. And I just pray that the Most High God bless us with even more spiritual wisdom and knowledge. Amen. You said something in your prayer, amen, that stuck out. Amen. You said that we preach and teach salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Excuse me. Amen. That you preach and teach, that we preach and teach salvation, because the time is almost near. Time is almost up. Amen. It's funny that you said that, because, amen, I've been thinking about that for the past 24 hours. And what I've been thinking about, brother, is all the lost souls, everybody that's lost. And what I was thinking about today, well, there are people out there, And I think me and you talked about this before, but there are people out there that that's the worst of the worst. Hey, man, let's just be real.
Yeah.
They're the worst of the worst. And then you got some people out there that just, you know, they're just living. You know, they're not really, you know, quote unquote bad people. And what I mean by that, they're not out here killing people, you know, taking advantage of people.
No, right.
They just reject God. They don't believe God.
That's right.
Maybe because of the way that they were raised, maybe they didn't get the right teaching when they came to church. You know, that type of stuff happens. And it's important that when we get the opportunity to preach to people, that we preach the truth, we preach the word. Amen. And the reason that I say that, because, you know, it's important that we get the opportunity to preach salvation. That's why we teach salvation so much, because we want if it's their first time listening to our show, we want you to understand. We don't want to just give you a good word and that just be the end of it. We want to teach you how to become saved, how to become a child of God,
Amen.
To come into the kingdom of God. That is our main purpose, is to grow the kingdom of God. We don't want nobody to be lost. We want as many people we can get into the kingdom of heaven before it's too late. People are searching. And the issue is there's so many preachers and pastors, they're just kind of ignoring the times, if you ask me. They're not teaching folks. Amen. It's okay to teach something that's other than eschatology. I'm not saying that. But make sure you include the plan of salvation. You got to teach people how to come into the kingdom of God, how to come into the know. They got to know how to be saved. They got to know what must I do to be saved. That is highly important that we teach. That's why every single time I teach, preach, no matter where I am, I always bring up the plan of salvation.
Thank you.
Because why? Amen. That's going to cap off my sermon. That's the icing on the cake. Amen.
Come on now.
Because if you don't teach people about salvation and you didn't preach this beautiful sermon, they may have loved it. And that's the problem with people coming into the church, hearing a good, blessed word. Amen, but not receiving salvation. And let me read this to you. One day I'll actually go to this. This is a chapter. Amen. I just turned the book, those pages, and it turned right to that chapter. This is a very challenging context in the Bible, because some people read this and they believe. I had a pastor to read this to me. He was trying to say that that people can lose their salvation based off this scripture. Now, I don't like to share this scripture too much to too many people, because they try to use it as ammunition instead of trying to go back, study, research, to learn and understand what the scripture and what the writer is saying. Instead, they'll just read it for what it says and take the assumption that, oh, that means that you can lose your salvation. Well, understand this. The Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible don't tell you salvation for all eternity and then turn around and tell you, oh, you can lose your salvation. God is not the author of what?
Confusion.
Amen. Amen. He is not the author of confusion. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. Amen. I'm going to break down some of it. I'm not going to get too long, because this is not what this is about. But I have to share this with you, because this is what happens when people come into church. They're looking for something. They're searching for something. So all their life they have heard about God can change you, God can turn your life around. But if you don't seal the deal, that is your opportunity. When they come into church, it is your responsibility to seal the deal when people come to your church. Don't let people just come into your church. It's kind of like a sales. I remember I used to do sales for many years. They used to always teach us these pitches. Yeah, you got to have a beautiful pitch, but you got to ask what? You got to ask for the money. You got to ask for, you know, you got to seal the deal. And it's no different when we are preaching and teaching. We have to seal the deal. How do we seal the deal? With the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is the icing on the cake. When I teach people, I want you to become, I want you to know, hey, you can be a part. Did you enjoy this word today? I want you to know that how you can become a part of this family today. And I'm going to share that with you in a minute. But first, I got to read this. It's Hebrews, the sixth chapter.
Go ahead.
Amen. I know the brother know where I'm coming from. Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Amen. Verses 1 through 6. And when I read it, I'm just going to break down some of it. I'm not going to get to a lot of it because it's not what this is about tonight. When you read it, you'll see why people think that, oh, the scripture says you can lose. No, that's not what the writer's saying. He's saying, let me go ahead and explain it to you first, then I'll read it. He said, if it was possible for you to lose your salvation. He didn't say that you could. He said, if it was possible, is what he was saying. So, amen. So let me read this to you. Amen. Because now let me explain this before I read. This is what happened when people come to church. They're looking for something. Either they're hurting, they're hungry, or they're just searching. They want more. And they come to church. They hear the good preaching. They hear the good singing. They're in the atmosphere, wonder why people are falling out, why people are crying, why people are saying, man, why do these people have so much joy? Amen. They may be broke and may be behind on bills, but they have so much joy. Well, that's because they have found salvation. But it is possible for you to taste this beautiful, glorified gift and not even accept it.
Come on,
amen.
Now.
Let me say that again because they went over some people's head. It is possible for you to taste this beautiful gift from heaven. Woo! There it is, doctor.
Hallelujah.
This beautiful gift from above, from heaven, and not accept it, not miss it. Either because the pastor didn't seal the deal or because they're not teaching the word correctly. They're not rightly dividing the word so that you can, just like I did about a month ago when those two young men came up and they got saved. Amen. Because why?
Amen.
I sealed the deal. Amen. Romans 10:9-10. So I'm going to read Hebrews, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 6. Watch what it says. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. That word perfection in the Greek is translated to mean maturity. Amen. So we're not perfect, but we mature as we go through life. In other words, we get better. Tim is not the same man he was 20 years ago. He's better than what he was before he became saved and what he was 20 years ago. Amen. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Man, that's powerful.
All right.
If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Amen. Amen.
Come on.
So I want you to understand, amen, that it is possible to come into the church. Amen. You may feel good. You may get emotional. Amen. You may partake in this beautiful heavenly worship.
Come on.
Amen. But if you don't seal the deal, if the pastor doesn't renew and seal the deal, amen.
Amen,
that person doesn't have salvation. This is where the confusion comes. Amen. This is where
Come
the confusion
on.
Comes. You want to know the people believe that, oh, yeah, I felt good. But did you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart? Did they have that conversation with you? See, the pastor has to have that conversation with you to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart to seal the deal. Now, don't get me wrong. some have come into salvation, not even going through the process, but sincerely dedicating their life to God. Say, God, I want to live for you. I want to be your child. God accepts that. Amen. God accepts that because you have sincerely given your life to Christ. Amen. So I'm saying to you, you don't necessarily have to quote Romans 10, 9, and 10 verbatim. But there are some people who don't understand. If they don't sincerely give their life to God in the church, they just came there and they just felt good and they left feeling good, but they never received Christ. That's
come on, preach up.
Because it is our responsibility as the overseers, the pastors, the bishops, the churches, leadership, the angels of the church, it is our responsibility to make sure that when one comes forward, that they understand why they are coming. We are to ask them, are you looking to give your life over to God today? Are you looking to give your life over to Christ? He died for your sin. See, we must explain that because why? People don't know that. We have to give them milk just like a baby. Amen, doctor? We got to give them milk like a baby so that they can understand salvation. Amen. If we don't do that, amen, then they won't know. Amen. Here's a little something to share with you. Amen. I gave my life to Christ, amen, just a few weeks ago, over 22 years ago. I gave my life to Christ. I knew nothing about the plan of salvation. I knew nothing about quoting or anything. But when it was time, I had asked God, not even a month prior to April 15, 2000, to save my soul at a stop sign in Irving, Texas. I said, God, I looked through the sky. I stopped my car. There was no traffic, nobody around that afternoon. I probably was off of work that day. It just came to my heart and my mind. The Holy Spirit was on me. He was on me heavy. See, the Holy Spirit said, Tim, God's got something better for you. You know how you was raised, and this is not the life that God wants you to have. He wants you to have a better life, more abundant. And I said to myself, God, whatever you do, don't let me go to hell. I don't want to go. I knew nothing about the lake of fire. People think hell and the lake of fire, two different places. I said, God, whatever you do, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn in hell for all eternity. That's all I know. God, don't let that happen to me. I went on about my day, amen, and God heard my cry. See, God hears you. And he answered maybe about 2 or 3 weeks later. Something happened, amen, something tragic, amen. I'll probably reveal it to you one day in the future. Amen. I knew that was a warning from God. I said, God, I don't want to go to hell. And I just didn't know, brother, I just didn't know how to do it. But I said, God, whatever you do, I want to be yours. I didn't know what I said exactly. I can't remember. It was 22 years ago. But I know I gave my life to God on April 15, 2000. Amen. The devil was trying to destroy my family. Amen. He was trying to rip us apart. And I said, God, whatever you do, amen, I want to go to heaven. I want to be with you, God. I don't know what I said, but I knew it was something similar to that. Lord, I just want to give myself over to you. I know I said that. I just want to give myself over to you. And what I'm saying to you, because of the sincerity that I had that day that I didn't do 2 weeks earlier, because 2 weeks earlier I just said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. See, what I'm saying to you, that wasn't good enough. God, I don't want to go to hell. Well, see, because sometimes we're not taught properly. People are not preaching, rightly dividing the word. They're not coming in and hugging people and embracing people and teaching them salvation. But because of my sincerity, 2 to 3 weeks later, God heard my cry from 2 weeks prior. Amen. And he made a way for me to be saved. He touched me in a way that made me come to him. Amen. In sincerity. It made me come to God basically on my knees and say, God, whatever you do, amen, don't leave me here. And whatever you do, don't let me go down into the pits for all eternity, the pits of darkness. Whatever you do, I want to be with you for all eternity. I want to give my life to you. Amen. I know I said that. I want to, this day, I give myself to you. I didn't know what to say. Amen. But I said that, and God felt that sincerity. And from that day, that instant, faster than you could blink, faster than I can think, the Holy Spirit was in my soul. And I didn't know it that day. I didn't know it. I didn't know the Holy Spirit was in me. And because we were always taught something different. Amen. We were always taught you had to do this and do that and do this and do that for the Holy Spirit to come in. That was incorrect teaching. The Holy Spirit said, the God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Come on.
That's a beautiful thing. I was so grateful, and I'll never forget April 15, 2000, that day, amen, in Irving, Texas. I was so grateful for my salvation. Even though the way that it came, amen, was a hurtful way, I'm glad that God still saved my soul. See, sometimes, amen, sometimes, you know, it has to come to some of us that way. Sometimes salvation doesn't come lightly to all of us. Sometimes it has to become painful because, you know, sometimes some of us are stubborn. Some of us will put God off. God knows us. Oh, God, you know, I said that day. I didn't want to go to hell, but, you know, man, I'm having too much fun out here, God. Can you come back and visit me 6 months to a year from now? God, I know I said I want to get some. Can you come back and see me? See, we can't do God like that. And God knew. He said, if I touch him this way, I know he'll come to me. See, some of us, it don't take much, brother. It don't take much. I'm the type of person when I hear the thunder, brother. Amen.
Thank you,
because. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Because the way I'm raised, when the thunder sounds, we cut off everything. Because that's what my dad taught. When you hear that thunder, my dad used to always say, I don't know if it's true or not, but my dad used to always say, that's God talking. He said, cut everything off. Lay down, be still. My dad used to always lay down and be still, get somewhere and sit down. Cut everything off. That's how we used to. I tell my kid, when you hear that thunder, we cut everything off, unplug your stuff, get off your stuff. Amen. Amen. I don't know if that's God's talking. Amen. But that's all it takes me, brother. I heard that thunder that day. I said, that's all it takes. Amen. But I want to share this little bit with you. Amen. I'm going to turn over to the brother. Amen. Because I want you to understand that God offers a gift. But man must what? Take the initiative to receive it. See, that's the point that I'm making to you so you can clearly understand what salvation is. The few weeks prior that I had pronounced to God, I said, God, don't let me go to hell. Amen?
Come on.
Amen. See, God always, he offered the gift my whole life. My dad has been a pastor. He has taught me, amen, but I never accepted the gift. Amen. But 2 to 3 weeks later, because of what happened, I took the initiative to accept God's offer. I said, God, whatever you do, amen, whatever you do, I want to be saved. Amen. I want to be saved. Amen. And so understand this, that salvation is what? Always clear. In its process, salvation is not something that's cloudy. Salvation is clear. I know that I'm saved. I know that if I pass away this next second, I know that I will be in heaven. And I teach people that. Brother, it troubles my spirit so much to see people who've been in church 20, 30, 40, 50 years saying, oh, well, I hope I get in. What do you mean you hope you get in? Have you not read the Bible? How God makes a promise? God doesn't make you're talking about the God that put the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. Ooh. And you have doubts? Lord, you're talking about the God that created the very man to walk the earth, to subdue the earth, the man that made great waterfalls, made the blue skies, made the rain fall down from heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Make the seasons to change. And you doubt the God that sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for you? You have doubts? Why so? No, sir. Amen. That is not the God we serve. God has not given us the spirit of fear because anytime, that you receive salvation, you can rest assured, amen, that it's for all eternity and that you are in his hand. I'm going to read some scriptures Amen. Because I want the listeners to understand that God offers the gift, but once again, man must take the what initiative to receive it, and salvation is always clear. Go with me to St. John.
St. John.
I'm going to read these few scriptures. I'm going to turn it over to the brother. St. John. We're going to deal with the salvation, and then we're going to get into some eschatology tonight. And I want to deal with that. We got to deal with salvation because I want you to go to heaven. And I want
yes,
you to
right.
be there with Elder Bazaar and me and all the
yes.
other saints, the saints of old. But watch this. Well, watch what St. John, the first chapter, verse 12, say. But as many as received him. That's all you got to do. That's all salvation is. I just receive it. God gives the gift. I just receive. Oh, man, y'all not hear me. Brother, that's such a beautiful thing. Man, I just imagine myself at the Bama seat. It's like when you graduate from high school or college or when you graduate from anything. You after your work is done, you just simply receive it. Amen. God just said, here it is. Here's the gift of life. And I envision myself, brother, him handing it to me, and I just receive it. That's all I do. I just simply confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart. And the Bible says, as Paul stated in Romans 10:9-10, thou shalt be saved. And that is it. That means I have simply accepted him into my heart. And now I'm saying I'm going to get a brand new body and I'm going to live for all eternity. But watch
Come
what
on,
it
preacher.
Says. Amen. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To them. Remember we talked about this? Amen. How God just simply gives the gift to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name.
Yeah.
So you see how simple salvation is. Amen. I told you I didn't know what to say or what to do, but I just believed on his name. I just believe that he died for my sins. I believe that there was a God in heaven. Man, let me tell you right now, there are people out there that may be saved and may not even know really that what salvation. They may not know what they're saved. I'm just telling the truth, Dr. Amen. They may not even know what they're saved. They may have gotten emotional one day, and they just got on there and said, Lord, I believe you. I just want to be your child. Have mercy on me. You know, we used to say that, amen, and the old saints used to say that. They said, you're going to be surprised. I said, you're going to be surprised who's going to be in heaven and who's not going to be there.
Come
I said,
on,
whoa.
Come on, preacher.
What? They said, you're going to be surprised. You know, old Joe that used to sit up under the tree or maybe out there on the street corner and beg, you may not think he may be saved, but he's going to be in heaven. He's going to make it in heaven before a lot of folks that's in the church 24/7. Go, amen, doctor, sitting in there hearing the word with the uppity self, the nose in the air, being mean, showing no love. Amen. But this man, this beggar, amen, like the Bible said, the beggar died, and amen, he went off to be in Abraham's bosom. Amen. I'm going to read a little bit more, and I'm going to give it over to the brother. Amen. You all are familiar with these two scriptures, but I got to read them. Amen. St. John, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16. Amen. Because once again, amen, some of us, amen, or whatever, we was raised in church. Some people are taught one of what me and Elder Bazaar are teaching. Amen. That the plan of salvation. Some people actually hear about the plan of salvation, and we sit down and we teach it to them, and they understand it. Amen. But some folks, you know, like I said, they just may be hurting. They don't even know that they say, man, God, the heaven is rejoicing. You just got saved.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Let me read this. I'm going to turn it over to the brother.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Amen. It says, St. John, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's
Come on, man.
Amen. Come on, doctor. Go ahead, doctor. Man. Go ahead and take it away.
You preaching? Well, you preaching now? You preach the salvation. You preach the salvation. Amen. We trying to tell your those that doubt they're saved or not. You don't know if you're saved. You've been baptized and you've been going to church and you've been hearing the preaching. But if you want to make sure you're saved, Amen. You could do it tonight. Amen. Because one thing about salvation,
right.
Let me tell you something. It's free. It's free. It's free. You don't have to pay nothing for it. You don't
Amen.
Have to holler up all over the place to receive Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible said if you what? Confess, admit the Lord Jesus Christ died
That's right.
and rose again and came back from the grave. If you admit that and you accept that and you testify of that, because the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. It says you know you are passed from death to life because
yeah.
you love the brother. I'm
That's
talking
right.
about if you know God. If you know God in your heart through Jesus Christ, you love everybody. Mother, oh, man, old days. I don't know how to express this to you. I mean, if I had 10,000 tongues, I still couldn't express it to you. The salvation that Jesus Christ brought down from heaven, and it took him 42 generations to do it. He had to come down through the bloodline. He had to come down through the righteous bloodline. He had to find a woman. Amen. So he could conceive her, to see himself in her womb. He stayed in the womb of Mary for what? 9 months. And then the 9th month, she delivered a child. And the Bible says that the Gabriel angel says, you're going to bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall save you from your sins. That's what Christ wants to do. That's what the church
Amen.
Needs to know what it needs to do. And that's what the church is not doing. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed the way some people call themselves a child of God, and they treat each other like they're foreigners. They treat each other and talk about each other. They don't have the love of God in their heart. Because
Come
if
on,
you love
God.
The God, you have the love of God in your heart, you're going to love that brother because you love God. And if you love God, you're going to love your brother. There ain't no has love. There ain't no diddly-dattly love. God so loved the world, the brother already quoted it, so that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him, accept him, trust him, rely on him, call on him, need him every day, every hour, and have a repentant spirit saying, Lord, I am sorry for lying. I'm sorry for drinking. I'm sorry for doing the low down dirty things that I have done. I'm sorry, and I want to turn. I want to make a 180-degree turn from sin, hell, death, and the grave. And I want you to come on into my life. I just want you to walk on in. Come on in, Jesus Christ. You know why I'm saying that? Because this is urgent. This is urgent. This is emergency. This is intensive care. Jesus Christ is getting ready to rapture the church. He's getting ready
Amen.
To rapture the church. We are living absolutely, definitely in the last hour just before Jesus Christ raptures the church. And after he raptures the church,
Pastor.
Things seem like it's going to go right on like it's been going, but there's going to be a
mm-hmm.
great multitude of people missing from the earth. That's why we are coaching you. That's why we are yearning you. That's why we are burning inside of our heart and mind and soul. You need Jesus tonight. Don't let nobody trick you. Don't let the devil trick you.
That's right.
Just because you go to church, that don't mean you're Christian. Lord have mercy. Just because I walk in a garage, in a mechanic garage, and come out, that don't mean I'm a mechanic. You see, a lot of people going to church
don't
know anything about power. Listen, the power that's in the cross of Christ. The power of salvation is in the power of the cross. It ain't how Jesus died. It's who died. Hey, there's a lot of men died on the cross. There's a lot of and drug addicts and they hung on the cross, but there's only one man that died for what? What did he die for? He died for your sins.
That's right.
You were born in sin. Shaped in the iniquity did your mother conceive you. You weren't born righteous. You weren't born good. You weren't born a saint. You weren't born angel. You were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and you can't help it that you were born in sin. So God provided a what? Substitute. And the substitute was Jesus Christ, not the church. The church ain't been no substitute for you. The preacher ain't been no substitute for you. Your mama, your daddy, your sister ain't been no substitute for you. Woo! And why would you not want to have the love of Jesus Christ in your heart, walking in an evil day, walking in a day where men have become mean and cruel, and men have become murderers and liars and cheapskates. Men have become all kinds of wicked personalities that the human race have picked up. But the only way that you can escape that, listen, the only way you can escape that, you've got to come to the cross. You've got to fall down on your knees and repent of your sins and cry out to the Lord. And a lot of people say, well, if you get saved, you got to tarry for the Holy Ghost. No, the tarrying days are over. The tarrying days
Amen.
Are over. The
Bible, come on,
doctor. In the name of the Lord, shall be saved. If you just walk down the street and something touch you, you know, and you just said, oh, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Guess what? The Lord will come into your life. Uh-oh, is it that easy? Yes, that easy. If you want to turn from sin, you're going to make effort to turn from sin. If you want to quit doing hating and lying and cheating and drugs and alcohol and all this here sex escapades that's going on today, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to live for you. I want to praise your name. Why? Because if you save me, Lord, I won't have to go to hell. Listen, if Christ saves you tonight, and you die tonight accepting Jesus Christ just before you go to bed, guess what? You will go to heaven just like that. That's
Come
how
on,
easy
doctor.
It is.
You got, Come on.
You got to repent. Sorry, godly sorrow, not sorrows of the world, because sorrows of the world is not repentance. Sorrow towards a holy God, a loving God,
Amen.
A merciful God, a kind God, an everlasting God, a God that loves you so much that if you was the only person on this earth, he still would have came and died for you. That's how much he loves you.
Amen.
And he loves you tonight. He'll love you tomorrow. Don't reject him. Don't deny him. Don't pay no attention to him, because you only got one life to live. This life here, amen, you can't back up. You can't reverse it. You can't go back in time and start all over again. No, you can't do that. And if you miss heaven, man, don't you know what you're going to miss? You're going to miss the purpose of living, to live
That's
with
right.
Jesus forever. No more crime, no more dying, no more racial injustices, no more policemen, no more funeral homes, no more killing, no more murder,
Come on,
no more broken family, no more. You live with Jesus Christ. Man, what you talking about? You don't want to live with Jesus Christ? You don't want to be with Christ when he comes back? And get to church.
Mm.
Don't wait till after the church is gone, because you might not make it. Because if you miss the rapture of the church, you may have to face the Antichrist. You may have to face the tribulation period. You may have to face the devastating judgments that's going to fall upon this earth pretty soon. And we can see some of the judgments falling out. California is burning up. Western, West California, Nevada, Las Vegas, Idaho, all those states are on fire because it hadn't rained out there for a long time. And the farmers are having problems growing the food, and the food shortage is going out. They tell me the chickens are diseased. They tell me the animals. Getting fed right because of the situation of drought, and the world is seeing catastrophe around the world 24/7, 365 days a year. People are dying. People are being killed. People are being killed on the highway. People are being killed at all kind of different kinds of recreation. People are just laying
That's
down.
True.
And they are dying. Guess what? Majority, I hate to even say this, but it's Bible. Majority of those people that are dying is dying without Christ.
That's right. Come on, doctor, and tell the truth.
Christ as a personal savior. And because you go to church, that's good, but that ain't going to save you. You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. If the preacher is not preaching salvation, you need to get out of that church. If he's not preaching love and mercy and forgiveness, and if he's not preaching judgment coming up on the earth today, if he's not preaching the end time, because we are living absolutely in the end time. We're living just before the calling of the trumpets, and the dead in Christ will rise, and those that remain alive shall meet the Lord in the air. We'll get ready to get the revelation tonight, a little bit of it. And the revelation is the unrevealing Christ. In other words, Christ is going to be revealed to the whole world pretty soon.
Amen.
And the ultimate will be revealed to the world pretty soon. There must be a seven-year tribulation to come up on the earth. And then after the tribulation period is over, Christ will be revealed from heaven with the glories of all the angels and the church. The church of the living God, the born-again believers, will come back with him. I want you to get an understanding of this. The church is going to be raptured up the first pre-tribulation. It's going to be raptured up, and the church will be on its way to the judgment seat of Christ. That's where I'm headed right now. I'm getting ready to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Not because I'm good, not because I pay my tithe, not because I wear sharp clothes, not because I got a whole lot of money. I'm not going to heaven like that. No. Anybody think they're going to heaven like that, they done lost their mind because they're trying to work their way to heaven. You cannot You cannot work your way to heaven. Salvation is what? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone, all by himself, because it was only Jesus that suffered for your sins, went to hell for you. You mean to tell me Jesus went to hell for Bazaar? You mean Jesus went to hell for Brother Tim? Yes, he did. He took my sins and held them to the cross. And by him coming into my life, my sins were cleansed. My soul is sanctified. My soul has no sin painted on it. My spirit is perfectly saved. My soul is perfectly saved. My body has a problem. My body has a sin problem. I got sins in the flesh, amen, that I'm working with for a long time. Ooh, Paul worked with it with all his life when he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver from this body of death? Because death is in the body. And I'm fighting against not flesh and blood, but against the principality. Don't let nobody tell you. If you save one time, you're saved forever. Christ did not come down here on this earth. Christ did not come down on this earth and suffer the way he did. For you say, I got saved, and then the next day you ain't saved. Christ didn't come down for that. He came down here to save you once and for all, that through him, that you can live with him, because his blood is what cleansed your soul, set free from sin. The devil said, you still doing some things that you did when you got, before you got saved. Yes, you may be doing that. But yet still, God said, if my spirit comes inside of you, I will guide you and lead you into all truth. I will sanctify you. I will clean you up and say you can go around and tell everybody, man, I'm a saved. I'm a Christian. You don't have to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And another thing, if you've been born again and you say you're ashamed of Christ, most likely you haven't been born again, because whoever's born of God shouldn't be ashamed and can't be ashamed, because let me tell you, if you've been delivered from hell, if you've been delivered from lying, if you've been delivered from whoremongering, if you've been delivered from homosexual, if you've been delivered from lesbianism, guess what? You're going to tell the world, man, I've been delivered. Why?
That's right.
Because
Amen.
I'm the only one that can deliver you. Quit believing these high-polluting Christians, so-called. I'm going to call them so-called Christians.
That's right.
They got the nose in the air thinking they're better than somebody else. Because they go to church, because they look with nice clothes on. If you think that's salvation, the way they act and the way they talk, that's not salvation. That's hell nation. That's a lie, because God loves everybody. I don't care if you got clothes to wear. I don't care if you got clothes to put on. I don't care if you got no money in your pocket. God loves you. I don't care what you done in your past life. I don't care what you done in your past life. Because Christ says, I will give you of all your sins. I will wash you and make you whole again. Good God Almighty. I wish, man, this salvation is so free. Amen. If I know God is still giving it. Amen. If I had 10,000 souls, I would tell every 10,000 of those souls, I want you to know Christ, because Christ is the right price. He paid the price on Calvary's cross. He didn't
Amen.
Pay it in the church building. He didn't pay it on the church step. He paid it at Calvary, because they mutilated him. They crucified who? God Almighty in the flesh, because that's who Jesus Christ was. He was God Almighty in the flesh. And God became human. Come on now.
Mm.
That's an awesome job. God became human. He was in a human body. He had the attributes of a man. He wasn't no broken wrist. He didn't go around switching. He was a man. He was God man. He was all man and all God. And he let the world crucify him. He let the world hang him so high until heaven had to move back into eternity. They hung him so high until hell had convulsions, because sin destroy you. Sin will kill you. Sin will cause you doing things that you don't think that God is going to be concerned about it. But let me tell you, sin can damn your soul into
Amen.
Hell. Because no sin will ever, you hear what I say? No sin will ever enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because Satan is the cause of sin coming into the world. And don't you know the devil's trying to get back into heaven? He's trying to get back into heaven, but he can't get back up in there. He is done, because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And now we're living absolutely in the last days. The last days started in 1948. That's when the last
Amen.
Days started. And the last days started in 1948, because that was the year, May the 14th, 1948 was the year that Israel became a nation. And when Israel became a nation, Jesus Christ said, when you see the fig leaf budding, you know that the time is nigh, and it's more close than nigh now than ever in human history, because Israel has been a nation for 70 years. That's one generation. Jesus Christ said, this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. And there's another 7 years to be fulfilled to make it 80 years. 80 years is a full generation. And now Israel is back in the land. They're getting ready to build a temple. They're getting ready for the three red heifers. They got all the priesthood getting together in Jerusalem today. They're doing it right now. They're preparing to rebuild the temple. And the temple is going to be rebuilt where the Antichrist is going to desolate it. The Antichrist is going to cause abomination, desolation, and they're getting ready to build it now. They're planning to build it now. And the Jews are on time. But the church, you know what the church is doing? Sleeping. The church don't even see what's going on. And
That's right.
The Jews are on time. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God is our on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but I'm a witness, I'm a witness, I'm a witness. He's on time when it comes. If you need him, he'll come on not your time, but he'll come on his time, and his time is already right, always right. My friends, my loved ones, my saints of God that's listening to me out there, amen. Brother Bazaar, Brother Tim loves y'all. Amen. He loves you. And what we are telling you is the truth. Salvation is secured in Jesus Christ. When you accept
That's right.
Jesus Christ one time, you got him forever. The devil don't like that. The devil hates that. The devil
That's
denies
right.
that. Why? Because he wants you back. He wants you. I ain't talking about me now. I ain't talking about Brother Jackson, but the devil wants you. those that's listening to me at that, he wants you personally to go to hell with him. That's what he wants. He don't want your money. He wants your soul. But he'll put money in your life. He'll put cars and automobiles and living luscious and drinking and lying. He'll put that in your life. He won't put nothing else in your life but destruction. And when you come to Christ, he gets mad because you reject his techniques. His techniques is killing, robbing, and destroying. And the only thing you got to do, the only thing you got to do tonight is confess it. Let the world know it. Confess it to your mama, your daddy, your cat, your dog, your uncles, your aunts, your enemies. Hey, look, man, I got saved last night by listening at this internet. These preachers was on there, and they said I could accept Jesus Christ tonight. The only thing I got to do is turn from my wicked ways.
Amen.
And believe Lord Jesus Christ and let him come into my life. Because I know one thing. I know pretty soon Jesus Christ is going to rapture the church. We're standing.
Amen.
I can give you an idea how close we are to the rapture. I'm going to give you an idea.
Tell it.
And I think it's a strong idea. It is a strong truth. We are living in the last days. We only got 7 years left before 80 years is fulfilled. The 80 years of one generation will be fulfilled in 2029. 2029 closes this generation. And Jesus Christ said, including Revelation, has to be fulfilled by 2029 because there's nothing else beyond 2029 but the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know what day, I don't know what hour, but I know the season and the time that Jesus Christ is going to come. And most likely he's going to come 100%. His arrival will be in September. If not this September, it will be next September. Because God is an orderly God, and he does things in order. And before the seventh season, on the seventh days, it needs to be fulfilled because four of them have already been fulfilled, and that is the Passover is fulfilled, which is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The unleavened bread represent a new walk. The first fruit represent the resurrection. The day of Pentecost represent the birth of the church. Those four has been fulfilled on time. You hear what I said? And yet, there is three more to be fulfilled on time. And the last three that's going to be fulfilled is called Feast of the Trumpets, Feast of Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacle. They are yet to be fulfilled, and this year is 110% fact that this year is known possibly to be the rapture of the church because the trumpets represent rapture. It represents awe. It represents judgment. It represents prepare yourself to hear the trumpet. Prepare yourself to be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye when the trumpets of God shall sound. And one thing about a trumpet, when any time a man blow a trumpet, whether he's in a cavalry, whether he's blowing a horn or something, that trumpet has a penetrating power. And the Jews use the horn so far. They blow a so far, a ram's horn. And when they blow that ram's horn, it penetrates at a long distance. You can hear it far away. And when the Lord descends from heaven with this trumpet, the dead in Christ is going to hear by penetrating through the graveyard. And the tombs are going to be blown open by the saints coming up out of the grave. And we that remain alive is going to be what? Changed. In a moment of a twinkle of an eyelash, of an eyeball, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to be there? You can leave this old world behind because ain't nothing in this world interests to me. Nothing. Football, right. Basketball, going out, drinking, getting high. I'm not even interested in that. I'm not even interested in trying to build a house or trying to prepare myself for to live another day. Why? Because I don't know what hour the Lord's going to come in, so I ain't going to get stuck up, amen, on this world of possessions. And the world today is stuck up on everything but Jesus Christ. They're neglecting him. Don't be the one that neglect him tonight, because we'll get ready for the 70th week. The 7th week spoken by Daniel the prophet. And
amen.
We get ready to. And so much of how long is that going to be? The devil, you know, the devil going to question you. Oh, what this preacher talking about? Well, I know for a fact this war that's in Ukraine today is going to be a conclusion within the next 4 months. The next 4 months are going to be a conclusion, because what Russia is getting ready to do to Ukraine, they already done did. They almost got the whole country. A lot of people say, well, they ain't going to get that country. Well, as he is, Putin is going to get the country. And when he gets
Amen.
That country, there's going to be 5 allied nations that's going to link up with Putin and
yes,
come down from the northern parts of Moscow. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Please listen to me. They're coming down from the north, and they're going to come down and what? Making an attack up on Israel. Putin wants the Middle East, but he wants Ukraine, for when he makes that pass down through Ukraine, he don't have to worry about somebody trying to fight him, because God has already gave it to Ezekiel 2,600 years ago.
Come on, doctor.
Ezekiel made this prophecy 2,600 years ago. I've been preaching it for 57 years ago. I've been preaching it ever since 65, when Russia came up on Czechoslovakia in 1967. I was there. I seen it long time ago. And now it has come to its peak. Russia is getting ready to control and make an attack up on Jerusalem. And he's going to have other nations to join the army. Ethiopia, Libya, Turkey, Germany, they're going to come down and make a swipe up on Israel. Now, get a load of this now. Get a load of this real good now, because this is scripture. This invasion cannot happen. Listen, it cannot happen until the body of Christ is excommunicated from the planet. The
Amen.
Body of Christ is born again believers that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have given their hearts to Christ, and they're witnessing, they're getting happy, they're rejoicing. They say, oh, I thank God for Brother Jackson and Brother Bazaar, because I heard something that I never heard before. And you won't hear it in the church today, because the preachers are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what they're preaching? A bunch of hogwash. It's a bunch
Amen.
Of hogwash. Get up and preach prosperity. I'm already prospering. Already happy, already joyful. I'm not happy because I got a whole lot of money. I'm not happy because I ain't got no money. I'm happy because Jesus saved my soul from sin,
Amen.
Death, hell, and the grave. And I don't have to beg God for nothing, because I can ask him. I don't have to plead God to do nothing for me, because he knows the desires of my heart. And he knows what I want to do. And this is the best thing that I know. This is the only thing that I need to know. This is the only thing I want to know, and let you know that this Christ that I lives in my heart, lives in Brother Jackson's heart. We want to introduce you to him. We want
Amen.
You to shake his hand, him to walk into your life. And just like the brother said, some people out on the street don't even know they're saved. Don't even know they saved. And then some people on the street, don't know they saved. And then there's people in the church think they saved and got a bigot spirit, got a hateful spirit, don't know nothing about the word of God, don't study the word of God, don't witness to nobody, don't show no love, go there, sing and shout and get out and raise a little money and have little banquets and little parties and everything, and they ain't concerned about souls. And if you're not concerned about the souls of men, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a clergy, whether you're a layman, or whether you're sitting in the pews, if you're not concerned about people's souls, their next-door neighbor, whoever you are, something is wrong with you because you don't have the love of God in you. You're just thinking about yourself.
Right.
But what's going to happen? Jesus Christ is going to remove the saints. Now, I didn't say the ain'ts. I said the saints.
Come on,
I didn't say the Baptist. I didn't say the Presbyterian. I didn't say the Catholic. I didn't say the Methodist. I ain't saying no denomination, because denomination don't mean you going to heaven. Please. Denomination don't mean you going to heaven. People think because they are Catholic, they're going to heaven. No. Catholic ain't die for me. Baptist ain't die for me. Scientology didn't die for me. The Mormons ain't die for me. Judaism didn't die for me. Great God out of Zion, Jesus Christ, God's Son, suffered and died on Calvary's cross for you. Poor old me, as small as I am, as small I am. And you want to know how small I am? And I'm going to give it over to the brother. Amen.
Amen.
I'm as small as
you doing good, God.
You fly in a plane at 35,000 feet and look down on the ground and see if you can find me. That's how small I am. And here we're serving a great God out of Zion. We're serving an almighty God. We're serving a self-existent God that became man, to come all the way down from heaven to a junkyard. This earth is
That's right.
Junkyard. It's full of junk.
Man.
Got more trash in them. Got all kind of old, different kinds of occults. We got Illuminati's. We got all kinds of witchcraft. We got all kind of voodoo. We got all kind of sex organs. We got all kind of lesbianism. It's junk. And Jesus Christ, I can consider him as the best junk man that you could ever come meet, because when he get a hold of your soul, he'll change you. He'll change you overnight. He'll change you in a minute. And you won't have to settle under the junk that Satan has to offer you. And that's what the devil is offering our generation today. Our young people, old folks, a bunch of junk. And Jesus Christ will come to save you from that junk. You need it tonight. You need it tonight. You're going to need him tomorrow. And you can get saved right now, wherever you are, whoever you are. Well, yeah, whether you're black or white, whether you're on drugs tonight, you might be sniffing on it now, but I don't care. I'm trying to tell you something. You can be saved by Jesus Christ. If you're tired of that mess, ain't you tired of that alcohol? Ain't you tired of that drugs? Ain't you coming up with hangovers and dropovers and all kind of overs that you get? Ain't you tired of that? Ain't you tired of getting it saved? Four or five women, or three women, and a wife swap. Ain't you tired of trying to steal stuff and get caught and going to jail in and out? Ain't you tired of trying to pull winks on God and think he's dead or he's asleep? No, I know you're tired of it. And you need to come to Christ. You need to come to Christ tonight. The Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God Almighty, the self-existent one, raised his son from the dead, that you can have eternal life. You need him tonight.
Amen.
God. All right, brother, roll with it.
Amen, doctor, man. You on fire, doctor. That was beautiful, man. That is beautiful. So much powerful words, so much truth. Amen. And I have to say this because, like you said, so many people in the church. Now, remember, we're not talking about right now so much as outside the church as we are dealing with inside the church. So many people are unaware because pastors are not preaching the return of Christ. They're not warning their church. They're not even in the book of Revelation. And what did Christ tell John? Amen.
Come on.
He told John to warn the seven churches, to warn the church.
Yeah.
That I'm coming back.
I'm coming back.
And the pastors are not, they're not preaching it. They're not teaching it. The people in church are unaware. And as I said before, amen, luckily, there are some people who are saved that don't know. They're still going to go to heaven because when the trumpet sound, man, you was preaching a powerful word, brother. Man, with that trumpet, like you say, how powerful, you can hear it in the distance. When Christ, man, we're going to give y'all some scriptures because we don't like folks to think that we just do a lot of talking, that we just making up stuff.
So
sometimes, you know, amen, I've learned in the 22 years that I've been preaching and teaching that when you tell people something, they think you're just making it up. Amen. But it's in the book. Amen. You won't ever be able to say, amen, that Elder Bazaar or Brother Jackson said anything. Amen. It's going to be in the book. We're going to give you the scripture to back up what we teach and what we say. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. So yes. I want to show this to you real quick what the brother was saying. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We're going to look at verse 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 51 and 52. Amen.
Yeah,
and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. Amen. You're going to get a brand new body. Like the doctor said, who don't want that? Man, you said something deep. You said Christ came down to the junkyard. Do you know what the junkyard is? How the junkyard stinks? How it's ugly? It's messed up? Old and dirty? Don't nobody like to be in the junkyard. Who in their right mind wants to go voluntarily to the junkyard? Amen. The earth is a junkyard, a cesspool. You can say whatever you want. You can call whatever you want. God said that he so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son. In Christ, in his obedience, came down to the earth to save your soul and mine. This is how much God adores us. See, the way people treat God in church as if God is some distant being that's just, he's cold. No, God is warm.
Yes.
God is love.
Yes.
That's what the scripture says about him. In fact, the scriptures describe what God is. God is love, and he can't wait to see you. He can't wait to embrace you. He can't wait to have you in heaven for all eternity with him. And, man, I can't wait. Brother, I know you can't wait. And the church preachers and pastors need to start teaching the church that Christ is soon to return. It ain't no need in being scared. Ain't no need in being afraid because this is not what this is. The Bible says that God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. Amen. We shouldn't be fearful at the return of God. I don't know why people preach that we're supposed to be scared of God. No, God loves you. Just like your mom and dad, your parents should love you. Your parents love you. Your loved ones love you. Amen. I tell people, you shouldn't fear somebody that you love in that way. We reverence God with respect. Amen. But we don't fear him in a way that, oh, my gosh. No, it's not that type of fear. Amen. It's a fear out of respect. We know that he's the almighty God, and that he is able to destroy the soul. Amen. Only the devil can destroy the body. Amen. But you're going to get a brand new body, and you're going to get to live for all eternity.
All eternity.
If you got all eternity, man, you can't beat that deal. Sign me up. Amen. Sign me up. I'm going to live for all eternity. I'm going to get a brand new body. You mean to tell me I ain't going to need to wear these glasses? I may have her again. If you got any broken bones, they're going to be mended. They're going to be brand new. If you have any sicknesses or illness, it's going to be cured, no matter what you have. It can be anything from a common cold. It can be anything from high blood pressure to AIDS. God is going to cure you in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You better believe. He said, I got the keys to death and hell. He said, Satan, get back.
Come on.
Amen. He said, give me that. He said, I got the keys to death and
hell.
See, diseases bring about death. Envy and strife and hate brings about death. God is all about love, amen. And there won't be no more death, no more dying.
Come on.
No more crying. No more sickness.
Yeah.
Man, I tell people, why would you want to miss that? How would you want to miss that? Don't you want to be part of God's kingdom? And you mean to tell
Come
me
on.
You gonna give up? You gonna give up God's kingdom to sit up and watch a bunch of TV series? Amen. To
Come
sit
on,
up and go clubbing and house hopping and stealing and robbing and lying and cheating to give up the
Come
kingdom?
On.
No, can't be. Let me show you what the word says. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 51 and 52. Let me show you what Paul said. Paul says, behold, in other words, Paul wants you to take note. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. I told you that word mystery in the Greek is mysterion. It means a secret. The secret is not something that's hidden from us, but hidden from who? Those that don't believe. See, those that don't believe, they have no clue, amen, that Christ is going to return soon.
Yeah.
But the church, well, amen, Christ told us to what? He said to watch. We should have been watching from the time of our salvation, looking for the Savior. Instead, you got pastors preaching motivational speeches. What kind of preaching is this? He giving a motivational speech with some scriptures? Is this what we doing now in the church? We motivating people to what? Get money? We motivating people to be healthy? The Bible says that exercise profits you little. In other words, it's okay to exercise and be healthy and to eat right, but where your soul at? Where your soul? There's people that died healthy. There are people who died fine and sexy, and they went to the gym every day. Amen. But where the soul going to be? So only what you do for Christ will last. Amen.
Right.
Amen. But watch what Paul said. Paul said, watch this. He said, we shall not all sleep. What Paul is talking to, he's talking to the church age. And what he's saying that there's going to be a portion of the church age at the very end when Christ gets ready to return, amen, that they're not going to even die. That's why I tell people, man, we may be, we have to be in the living in one of the greatest times of mankind. You may
Come
never
on.
See death. If Christ was to come back this very instant, you'll never see death. Lord, have mercy. You ought to shout on that. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. See, when Christ comes back, there's going to be a shout. And like the brother said, that trumpet is going to blow so loud that the dead, man, that's so powerful. I'd go out to the graveyard right now where my parents sat and my loved ones at. I can shout. I can holler. I can stomp. I can beat a drum. I can blow a trumpet. I can do everything, and they're not going to hear me. I can call them by name. They're not going to hear me. They're not going to get up out of the grave. But Paul said that there's going to be a day and time when that trumpet sound that the dead in Christ shall rise.
Yeah.
They're going to get up out the grave. Like the brother said, amen, that we remember the first resurrection of Christ when it happened. Amen. What happened? Amen. Amen. It ripped. Amen. It tore it almost in two. Amen. Amen. That's
Come
what the dead and grave. That's what the resurrection of God does. Amen. They're gonna tear out those graves. Amen. They're gonna be in heaven.
Come on.
They're gonna tear out those clothes. They're gonna tear out those caskets. There's gonna be a hole in the ground where they came out of. Cause them bodies.
Come on, friend.
They say death. You got to give it up. See, that's the power of Christ. That's the power of our Lord and Savior. When He says, "Come on out that grave," all the dead, since the time of the church age. They are gonna get out the graves all over the earth. It don't matter where they died. It don't matter if they died if they died in the water in the ocean. The body was never recovered. It don't matter if they died somewhere in the forest or on the mountain, or if they out there in the graveyards. It don't matter if they was cremated. Amen. Because sometimes that does happen. Amen. Because cremation don't mean that you're not saved. Amen. I know that sometimes people die in a fire. Amen. The point that I'm making to you, amen, is guess what? They're going to get a brand new body. It don't matter
brand
where they
body.
Are. They could be drowned in the ocean, and their body was never recovered. Don't you know that Christ is going to call them out? Man, that's some serious power, brother. Amen. You're going to get a brand new. Paul said, but we shall be what? We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, Paul said, faster than you can blink, faster than you can think. Amen. You're going to be sitting there reading your Bible, listening to your music, watching TV, maybe in the bathtub, taking a shower or something, maybe using the bathroom, maybe putting makeup on, maybe driving down the street, maybe at the library studying. People are going to be doing everything when that trumpet sounds. But, man, when they say, like the brother said, your clothes going to be standing, they don't know what happened to you. Your body going to disappear so fast.
Good Lord.
It's going to take some seconds for your clothes to hit the ground. You're going to be gone so fast when that trumpet sounds. People going to be gone. The children of the world going to be gone. They ain't going to know what to do. The folks in this world going to go nuts. And the suicide rate going to go through the roof because people are not going to know what to do when their children are gone. People are not going to know what to do when some of their loved ones are gone, when some of their other mom and daddy is gone. So when their brothers and sisters are gone, hey, we telling you right now to get ready, get ready, get ready. Christ is soon to return to get the church. Amen. You can play all you want to. You can focus on going on your next vacation. You can focus on your degree and your master's degree and your doctorate degree. And we're not telling you to stop living. That's not what we said. But make sure that you got Christ. You can plan for that trip. Amen. You can plan for that great vacation. You can still go to Africa. You can still do 50 things on your bucket list. But guess what? You better make sure your soul is safe, because if that trumpet blow and you hear it, oh, my God, the great tribulation ain't going to be nothing to play with. Amen. You know it's something serious. If Christ had to go back and recite what Daniel said over in Daniel, the 12th chapter, Christ came back in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and he had to recite. He told his disciples, man, there has never been a time like it since the time of Adam and Eve, nor to this time now present, as I'm speaking to you. And then he said, nor shall there ever be a time like it after this in the time of mankind. Just 7 years is going to be so horrific. You can't imagine the things that's going to hit the planet, the things that the devil, Lucifer, Satan himself, is going to release on this planet. That's why Christ said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's why he said that. Well, I've always wondered what that meant back. And I said, why did Christ say, and the gates of hell shall not prevail? That's because the gates of hell are going to be opened up. See, you think it's a joke. All this stuff they're showing you on TV and in these movies, you think it's a joke. But, man, let me tell you right now, you better hope that your soul is saved, because I'm going to tell you right now, when the Holy Spirit steps back and cries, when Christ pulls the saints out of the ground and off the earth, my God.
Yeah.
Man, don't you know? It's going to be hell on this planet. Hell on earth is what it's going to be.
Come on, literally, preacher. Hell on earth.
Man, you better read about those demons over in Revelation. Pits are going to be open up. And those demons will come out of the pits of hell. See, people think this is a joke, but people think this is a fairy tale. But it's in your book. It's in your Bible. See, your pastor just never told you about it. See, you probably just ain't never went back there and read it. Ain't nobody really sit there and told you about these things. But see, Christ warned us. He told John to warn the church.
Warn the church. Yes.
Warn the church.
Tell
and
the
that's
church.
Our job. Amen. You think sex trafficking. Well, there ain't going to be no child because the children are going to be gone. But you think sex trafficking is bad now. Kidnapping is bad now. You think the people are killing each other now. You think men taking advantage of women is bad now. These men are getting so brave now. They doing it in broad daylight, brother. They out here attacking women in broad daylight. They taking advantage of women in the daytime at stores and dressing rooms. I'm like, what's wrong with people? The world has gone nuts.
Man.
You think it's bad now. You think police brutality is bad now. But I tell you what, you better not be in that great tribulation.
You think
this war that's going on now is something. This war ain't nothing. This war right here compared to what it's about to be. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you right now, when the souls start to leave this planet by the millions, obviously you ain't hearing what I'm saying. Yeah, I said it, by the millions. See, we think this plague that hit us this coronavirus. We thought that was something. Yeah. No. Be here when a great tribulation. You think AIDS is something? Oh, man, the stuff that's going to hit this planet when the Holy Spirit step back. Oh, AIDS ain't got nothing on what's about to hit this planet. Amen. Ooh. I'm just being real with you. I ain't making this up. People say, oh, well, where is that at? Study your Bible. Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
This is what the great tribulation is. Amen. The plagues,
yes,
the starvation. This is what the four horsemen is. See, a lot of pastors don't even talk about the four. I was in shock to learn that people didn't know anything about the four. Y'all don't know anything about the four horsemen? Oh, so y'all thought the four horsemen was something to do with college football that they used to talk about back in the day. Now, that ain't what we're talking about. We're talking about the four horsemen of Revelation. That's where they got the four horsemen from. They got it from the book of Revelation. See, that's real.
Yes, they did.
That's the Antichrist.
Yes,
amen. The war. Amen. War. The red horse. We had the
yeah.
white horse, which is the pale horse, which is, the white horse, which is the Antichrist. And then we had the red horse, which is war. And then we have the what? We have the
black horse,
which is famine. Amen.
Famine.
Pestilence. Famine. That's what the pestilence is. Diseases. Oh, you thought I made that up about the diseases that's going to hit this planet when the Holy Spirit steps back and Satan takes control. And then you got what? You got the pale horse. Behold a pale horse. Death. And then in Revelation 6, it said that, and hell followed behind him.
Yes, sir.
What this is simply saying is that those that die and they're not in Christ in the tribulation, they going straight to hell. In fact, that's where people go right now that's not in Christ. They go straight to hell. See, everybody want to put their loved ones in heaven. But you know how these folks live. They never set foot in church. They never spoke of God. They never even cracked open a Bible. In fact, they were speaking other things that they shouldn't have been and doing things they shouldn't have been, but you want to put them in heaven. That ain't how it works. Amen.
That ain't how it works.
As I said earlier in the – amen, Doc, that's not how it works. As I said earlier in the show, salvation is not a vague thing. It's something that you know. It's you know salvation. You know that you got salvation. Amen. You can feel it on this inside. You know that God has called you out of the world. You know that you are different. That's what to be called me. You are different. Amen. Let me finish reading this. Let me finish. Amen. It says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Incorruptible. Don't you know that the time you came out of your mother's womb? Amen. That you were corruptible. In other words, you were born dying. Amen. You may not have known it, but your body was failing you as soon as you were born. As beautiful as you was when you came out as a baby, your body was failing you. You just didn't know it. Why? Because of sin. We're born in sin. And sin causes what? Death. You were dying from the time that you were born. Amen. But Christ said, see, but here's the good thing. See, over in Matthew's, amen.
All right.
That last chapter over in Matthew's, amen. See if I can go there real quick. Matthew's, the 28th chapter, verse 9. Christ said, all hail. Amen. H-A-I-L. All hail. Amen.
Come on.
Rejoice. That's what he was saying. Rejoice, because why? It says, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Matthew 28:9. What he was saying was, guess what, guys? I have the victory. Death no longer has a sting over me.
That's right. That's right.
Hell
that's right.
will no longer hold those that love God.
Come on,
man. Y'all ain't hear me. Hell will no longer hold those. See, paradise used to be in Hades, but no more. See, when Christ had the victory, he said, no more. When you die, you go before God. Amen.
Come on.
Paul said it.
Come on.
Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present.
To be present.
You know, amen. So some folks think that, he was just, why would Paul just make that up? None of these writers would just feel like, oh, let me just say this, just to say this. No, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. If you ain't hearing this body, that's why I tell people, if folks are saved, why y'all, I mean, I'm going to miss them. When my parents died, amen, I cried a little bit because I knew I was going to see them again. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It wouldn't no need me renting my clothes and doing all that. You see some folks do the most at funerals. Amen. But see,
amen.
It's best to get your life right so you can see them again.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. Get your life right so you can see them again. The resurrection is a promise from Christ. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. Amen. Let me show you some more scripture. Amen.
Go ahead, buddy.
Amen. Let's go with some more scripture. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 and 14. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 and 14.
Yeah.
It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. See, there we go. We don't need to sorrow too much. We miss them. I miss my loved ones. I do. Amen. Every now and then I get sad over it. But I know that joy cometh in the morning. I'm going to get to see
them.
Even as others which have no hope. That's talking about those that what? Those that don't believe. They ain't got no hope. They die.
They ain't got no hope.
It ain't no second chance. There's no hope. If you die and you're not in Christ, in hell, you will lift up your eyes. That's a guarantee. Christ said it himself over in Luke, the 16th chapter. In hell, you will lift up your eyes. That's what the rich man did. When he died, he went off to hell.
Yeah.
Death carried him to hell. See, we as believers, when we die, the angels are there by your bedside. However the way you die, the glory of God, he sent them angels down there to get you. They wait. There are so many angels. So many angels in heaven, and they say hundreds of thousands of people die per day. And only so many of those people say, you heard the brother say earlier, when people die, out of all these people that die every day, more go to hell than heaven. That's just the truth. We got to tell the truth. I know it's a harsh reality. It's something that we don't want to hear, but these folks that you see dying out here every day, whether they die of something tragic or if they die of natural causes, they got to go somewhere. They have a soul. And this nonsense folks teaching out here talking about, what they call that when they come back?
Purgatory.
No, it's the other one. No, it's the other one. When they say you come back as like a caterpillar or some crazy stuff like that, they say you come back as a new,
reincarnated.
I just had it on my mind. Reincarnated, brother. Reincarnated. Man, you got folks teaching that reincarnation nonsense. Let me tell you something. Stop listening to these folks with these different gypsy channels. These are devil worship. Amen. Brother, me and my wife, we went for lunch the other day, and she went and got a burger. And right next to this burger joint is this gypsy house. Brother, I was shocked to see that place. I said, man, you know what? That place has been there since I was a kid. That place is still around. That means that people are believing in this false religion nonsense. And now, with the devil, hey, man, brother, I'm almost 50, and that place has been around since I was a child. Since as long as I can remember, since I was probably like 5 years old, that place has been there. Whoever, the woman or her family, is still there. So if she still got that sign up, somebody in that family or her, somebody's still alive, still doing that nonsense. And
that
it's
witchcraft.
Thank you, brother. Witchcraft. Contacting the dead. Getting answers from the dead. What's your zodiac sign? These are signs of the devil. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Back to the scripture. Amen. I'm sorry. Back to the 14th verse. I'm going to get ready to get over to the brother. How much time I got? Oh, yeah. Amen. I'm getting good. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there it is. That's salvation. Paul just gave you salvation in a nutshell. He said, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's all you got to do to be saved. Man, your preacher want to be the gatekeeper. Your pastor want to make you climb Mount Everest to get to heaven. There is no such thing. I tell some of these pastors there, stop preaching that nonsense, because don't stop lying to folks. That ain't got nothing to do with going to heaven. All you got to do is believe. That's all the Bible says. And until someone show me something different, I had, brother, I've been doing it 22 years. You've been doing it, I know, a lot longer than I have, two and three times the time I've been doing it. And I ain't never seen any other way to get to heaven but through Christ.
Come on now. Come on.
Amen. Faith in Christ. Trouble. That's all it says. But you got some folks that want to make you, they want to make folks grind it out. Oh, you got to go through this. And, brother, that Bible don't say none of that you teaching. It says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, the Bible said that you have salvation. Salvation is simple than 1, 2, 3, ABC. It is. Salvation is easier than you learning your ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. I tell the kids the kids got it. From the time they were children, amen, I've taught people, they grown, they in their 30s now. I taught them when they were young, and they still got it today. They still understand it. That's how you know salvation. The Bible says if you train up a child, amen. Let me finish reading the scripture, brother, and turn it over to you. It says, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. God is going to bring your loved ones, and we're going to all be together in the air to meet Christ. This event is soon to happen. It's inevitable. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Preachers are hardly talking about it because Satan has blinded the world through money. You got so many pastors that talk about money so much in church. They talk about money more than they do salvation. They talk about money more than they do love. They talk about motivation more than they do salvation. They talk about motivation more than they do love. They talk about money more than they do the return of Christ. They talk about money more than they do the gathering together of the saints, the rapture. They talk about money more than revelation. But that's because the world is blinded by that. Everybody's snapping photos and posting and all on social media. Everybody wants to make money, and I get it. There's nothing wrong with having an entrepreneurial spirit. I got it. But make sure it's your soul. Make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Lamb's Book of Life. There you go.
Amen. Amen, brother. It's okay to have ambition. It's okay to go get your doctorate degree, your master's degree, or your bachelor's degree, or your associate's degree. Go get your certification. Go do everything your heart desires. If you want to go to Africa, Egypt, Europe, wherever you want, South America, Mexico, wherever you want to go, you go. But make sure that your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. Because when that trumpet sound, oh, my God, Lord, there will be so many folks in the millions, in the billions, going to wish they had their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Go ahead, doctor.
All right, brother. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity tonight. We just ask you, Lord,
yes, sir,
that you continue on another 20 minutes that we can strike somebody, amen, in love. Let the love of God strike their hearts and come to Christ. Because I want to let you know everything is set in order. Everything is in order, just like the Bible said it would be. I'm going to give you some information. A lot of people say, well, this Antichrist, I'm going to tell you, he's alive today. Now, he's alive. Let me tell you that. That's the Bible truth. I put my heart on God's word and lay my heart. The Antichrist is alive now. Not tomorrow. He wasn't born yesterday. He's alive today. And he's coming. Get ready to come on the scene. Israel is looking for him. Israel is prepared for him. They're building the temple for him. They're getting the three red heifers. They're preparing to sanctify the Dome of the Rock where the Islams are at. They want that spot. But the Jews are preparing for the Antichrist. If the Jews are preparing for the Antichrist is 110% alive today. He's alive, and he's coming from the 10 European common market horns that Daniel spoke of 2,600 years ago. He's coming from, I'm going to tell you where he's coming from. He's coming from NATO. He's coming from European common market. He's coming from one of the 10 toes, which would be the 11th toe. not the 11th toe, but the 11th horn, because Daniel went from toes to horn because of the 11th horn. A horn represents power. All right? In the book of Daniel, 7th chapter, it breaks it down and lets you know this one horn, out of all the other 10 horns, this one horn had eyes and spoke great things against the Most High. That's the Antichrist. The Bible didn't give his name. The reason the Bible didn't say his name, because you got some clowns, you got a lot of old Bible people who would like to change the Bible and change the names of the Bible. So God didn't permit his name to be mentioned until he come on the scene. He's alive today. He's coming from the 11th horn that came up out of the European common market. And that 11th horn is country Spain. Spain is the country. Spain is the country in which the Antichrist is alive now in Madrid, Spain. He's the king of Spain. He's got control of the 10 European common markets, which is NATO, which is going supplying Ukraine with ammunition. And Putin says they better quit doing it, or we're going to go into a nuclear war, because he don't want them supply them with armaments when he's trying to get his position into the Middle East. So what I'm saying, NATO is where the Antichrist is coming from, and he's exactly about 53 years old. He's the king of Spain, and his job is to do what? He will claim. Now listen, this is what he's going to do when he come on the scene. And the world today is looking for a superpower. They're looking for a man that's uniquely furnished, uniquely polished. He has to be handsome. He has to be in the military. He has to have to know the languages. He has to be very, very smart and very handsome. Because when he come on the scene, the women folks, you know, women, they're going to see this man. When they see this man, and the men are going to say, wow, this man has got it. This man got to be Jesus Christ. Why? Because, number one, he claims to be God and his worship is God. He said, now listen, in Thessalonians 2 and 3 and 4, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3 and 4, it said, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day shall not come until the rebellion occur and the man of lawlessness, which is the Antichrist, is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself above everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he himself set himself in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. This man will come on the scene and profess himself to be Jesus Christ, and the Jews will say, yes, yes, the Messiah is here. And after the rapture of the church, because he cannot come until the rapture of the church has been removed. When the rapture of the church is removed, the Antichrist will rise, which represents the horse in Revelation, the white horse. He's coming. Look up here. This man is going to come dressed to kill. Dressed to kill. I don't know what kind of dress he's going to put in, but I'm going to put it in the spiritual of my mind. He'll probably come dressed in a white uniform. Oh, he got one. I seen him in it. He's got a white uniform. He may drive up in Jerusalem in a white limousine, get out. And when the world televises him on TV and he makes a covenant with Israel, the Jews are going to say, yes, this is what we have been looking for. The Messiah is here, because he's going to give them permission to build the temple. And he's going to make a covenant with the Jews and make a covenant with other nations that he will protect them for 7 years. And that 7 years is the 7-year tribulation. But in the middle of the tribulation, he will break the covenant and turn to the beast, because Satan at that time in the middle of the tribulation will be cast out of heaven. The Antichrist will be assassinated, and he's going to be raised from the dead. Oh, listen to me, church. Listen to me, those that don't know what's going on. Listen to me, those that think the world is going to go on a little longer. The world is getting ready to come to a close. Sin is getting ready to be destroyed. Christ is getting ready to reign on this earth. Christ is getting ready to what? Do what he promised he would do. He will eliminate all wickedness, sin, death, hell in the grave. And the world is saying, no, we can't do that. We love hell. We love death. We love the grave. We love sin. We love the party. We love, man. We just love it. We love to get drunk. We love the wife swapping. We love the homosexuals. We love the lesbianism. We love all the things that can give us pleasure. We want pleasure. We love the football game, the basketball game. We love the recreation centers. We love the recreation parks. We love to swing on the rides and go have parties and sit out on the lawn. Laugh and joke and play around, but yet you're still in all this. The devil says, if I can keep you from Calvary, if I can keep you from salvation, if I can keep you from the blood of Christ, if I can keep you from the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you leave this planet without Jesus Christ, you're going to bust hell wide open. And I didn't say that. The Bible says it. And it says he will do what? What will he do? He will blaspheme God. He will open his mouth with blaspheme against God. He will blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those that's in the tabernacle, which he will blaspheme those that have been raptured up. You see, those that's going to be raptured up, the devil knows what's going on. You see, the devil knows what's going on more than man. He knows his time. He knows when he's going to move in. He knows what he got to do. And he said, I'm going to do it, but I got to do one thing. I got to keep these people stunned. I got to keep these people occupied. I got to keep these people in luxury. I got to keep these people in luxury. I got to keep these poor people. I got to keep them in a place where they say, well, I'm gonna get everything I can. Since I can't get it, I'm going to keep them in the lotto so they can win a whole lot of money. And, oh, my God, he's got all kind of attractions to keep you from this. But yet still, this man will blaspheme God and those that are in heaven. He will display, now listen to this, in Revelation 13 and 13, he will display miraculous powers, has performed great signs and even causing fire to come down out of heaven to the earth in full view of the people. You talk about television. Here's what television is going to be in motion. Here's what television is going to be more busy than anything in any time history, because it's going to be televised. People are going to see this man walk in Jerusalem in the white uniform. I believe that's what I'm saying. Getting out of a white limousine with a four-door bulletproof glass, and the world is going to say, yes, this is Jesus Christ. This is the Messiah. The world is waiting for it. The world is looking for it. Why? Because we had 45 presidents in the government in the United States of America. We had kings and princes and dictators. All these men have tried to bring world peace, and they can't do it because they're sinful creatures, because they're falling from God. They are falling from the love of God. They don't know nothing. Even if they had the love of God, they still can't control the world, because Christ is going to control the world. But he wants those that need to know him, need to come to him. Listen to what it said. An Antichrist comes back to life because somebody going to assassinate him. Listen to this. Somebody going to assassinate him with a bullet today. They're going to shoot this man. Come on. Listen to me. You ain't going to hear this in church. You ain't going to hear this on an everyday church, because let me tell you, out of the seven churches of Asia Minor, only two was doing the work of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. The other five was playing marbles and Jack in the Box. They were playing bingo. They playing all kinds of programs. They got everything all wrapped up in themselves. They're not thinking about what's going to happen pretty soon. They're trying to stick their head in the ground like an oyster and deny that Jesus Christ is coming back again. But what God is going to let devil permit to do, the assassination of the Antichrist, and the name of the man that's going to be assassinated is King Felipe, the king of Spain. The king of Spain is he's the 11th horn, and that's the only horn that came up. And when this horn came up, they tell me he come up with eyes and spoke great things against the Most High, but yet still somebody's going to assassinate him. And when they assassinate him, they're going to shoot him in the head, like President John John F. Kennedy, and they tell me they're going to lay him in the morgue. Uh-huh. And when they lay him in the morgue, they're going to mourn for 3 days. And after the 3 days, mm-hmm. they tell me something like this. Is he going to rise from the dead again? Is he coming back to life? And somebody said, no, it's done. What the world going to do now? The world is lost, and it's still lost because the devil says now. The devil says now he's going to be cast out of the heavens and go down and incarnate himself in this side of the Antichrist. And he's going to raise the Antichrist from the dead because the Bible said in 13 and 6 of Revelation, the dead was healed. And they tell me he's going to do a miracle like never before. And somebody said, well, we've never seen anything like this. This must be Jesus Christ. But it won't be Jesus Christ. He'll be the raw-headed snoop-foot, bee-mama's devil. He's doing his tricks, and he's playing tricks on people. And the Bible says whoever denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God will fall under the Antichrist. And those that deny Jesus Christ after the rapture of Jesus, after the rapture of the church, they're going to believe that this man is God Almighty, and by him being God Almighty, listen what he does. After he brings it back to life, people celebrate. They jump up and down. People say, "Yes, I knew. I knew this is God Almighty, but he won't be God Almighty. It'll be the beast. It'll be the raw devil inside of a human being, and he will have power that no man can withstand. No man can defeat the devil, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Host of Hosts." The only one that can defeat the devil is God Almighty through his son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells me the Antichrist ruled with full authority. And for 3.5 years, he is given authority over what? Every tribe, every people, every language, and every nation. 13 chapter Revelation 5 and 7. He will rule the world for 3.5 years under the influence of satanic demons and cohorts and Nephilims and fallen angels and UFOs. They will be in it on the earth. They're coming down here.
Come on, talk about it.
Come on, listen to me. You ain't going to hear this in the church. No, preachers don't know nothing about this. They preaching spaghetti sermons. They preaching motivation speeches, how get your women and how to dress and how to make money and how to buy land. They ain't know nothing about this. They're just as dumb as Isaiah said. They're like dumb dogs. They're blind. They can't see. They want money. They drink wine. They take women out. They're homosexual. They're incest. They tell me it's rotten. And I tell you, they need to call the junk and tell them to come down here and save their souls, but they don't want that. Listen to what it said. The Antichrist controls the world. How do he control the world? This is how he controls the world. He forces all people, great, small, and rich, and poor, to receive a mark. Come on, preacher. A mark in their what? Right hand or in their forehead. Here's where the tattoo's coming in on today.
Come on, doctor.
There's a nose. They're marking all up their body, so they're already used to getting marks up on themselves. So when the mark of the beast comes, and all this corona dropped in on them, and they say, well, I'm going to get my mark, because if I don't get my mark, they'll tell me, the Bible says, nobody will be able to buy or sell. In other words, you won't be able to own your home. You won't be able to own your bank account. You won't be able to own your car. You won't be able to own your children. You won't be able to go to the doctor. You won't be able to get no Social Security. You won't be able to get your pension. So you got to receive the mark in order to have the privilege of having a decent life to live. But some people say, well, I'm going to get my mark because I got to have my financial. I got to have my materialistic. I got to have the right to go to the bank and draw my money out. Yeah, you might have the right. But if you receive the mark, that means your soul. Oh, Lord, Hembers. I say your soul. I said, your soul is damn forever. You'll be cast into the lake of fire. that burn with brimstone, because you rejected. You rejected the love of God. You reject that cruel cross. You reject that cross that Jesus Christ shed his blood on. You reject the resurrection. You reject everything that God brought down here to deliver you from sin. But you told yourself, I don't want to be delivered from sin. I want to have my women. I want to have my money. I want to have everything that I bought and worked for. But let me tell you. If you reject the Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, and you receive the mark, you can live, but your soul is damned for hell. If you refuse the mark, you will be beheaded by guillotine. You will be killed by a guillotine. And the United States will fall under the rim and under the reign of this Antichrist. They will fall under because we got a lot of people in churches. We got people on the street. We got people in beer joints. We got people in the Illuminati. We got people in secret society. We got people in the political world that will grab the mark and receive it, and their souls will be damned. And that refuse will go to the guillotine. The guillotine is a beheaded instrument that was used in France in the 1800s. And now, listen to what I got to tell you. President Barack Obama, when he was in office, just before he came out of office, and everybody was jumping over heels about President Barack Obama. He's a black president. I don't care what color you are. That ain't got nothing to do with it. He's right. But he ordered. He ordered to America to bring 1,000 guillotines over here. And he's got them stored up. He's got them stored up in what? Alabama, Mississippi, at the army bases. And they're getting ready to bring them out. But it's not that time yet. And here we are praising somebody who is against you. And a lot of folks can't see it.
Amen.
A lot of folks can't see Biden. They can't see a lot of presidents. Some can't see some of Trump did, and he wasn't no angel, but he did some things more than any other president did in history. And a lot of people go, what is that? What is that? I tell you what he did. And I'm going to get ready to have an altar call. President Trump told the government, told the world, if I get to be president, I'm going to do a thing that no other president has had done since President Harry S. Truman. I'm going to make sure, definitely sure, absolutely sure, that Jerusalem becomes the capital of Israel. And when Trump got in, he said, I'm going to bring the Jewish capital back to what? Israel. And I don't know if he mentioned it or not, but he might not know what he did, but I know what he did. He brought Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel because Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and Jerusalem is going to be the centerfold of Christ's return because Jesus Christ is going to rule from Jerusalem. So he's let the world know this is the land of the Jewish people. That's what Trump did, and he did that. That turned me on. Because I'm a Jew lover. I love the Jew. I want to see the Jew come back. I want to see the Jew get the victory. Why?
That's
because the Antichrist is going to try to destroy Israel. All the armies of the world, listen, I'm going to close. All the armies of the world is going to come against Jerusalem. All the Gentile nations is going to try to eliminate the Jewish nation and get rid of Jerusalem and wipe them off the face of the earth. But they're a lying wonder. They're a lying wonder. They're a lying wonder. They ain't going to touch God's people because God said, I'm going to restore the Jews back in the land because they're going to rule and reign with me in Jerusalem, and they're going to become the head of all nations. I'm serving the Lord. I'm saved tonight. Are you saved? If you ain't saved tonight, you're going to miss all this. You're going to miss all this. You're going to miss the victory that Jesus Christ brought to the world, and that is salvation.
Amen.
If you don't have Jesus Christ, Christ tonight, you're going to miss it, and then you're going to miss it more if you miss it and go to hell. Don't miss it.
Amen.
You need Christ tonight. This was getting ready to happen, man. My friends, my loved ones, the saints of God out there, this is what's getting ready to happen. We got about, we got maybe 8 or 9 months, maybe less than that. There's going to be a World War III. World War III is here. It's in the making.
Well, and it's already here.
Yeah, it's already here, Doc.
It's already
somebody
here.
I got about 5 minutes. Brother, you want to close that, open that altar up and see if anybody want to come to Jesus Christ tonight?
Amen.
I hope so. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. No problem, Doctor. Amen. Amen. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Amen. We don't want nobody to be lost. We want as many people to come to Christ. Amen. If you've already, amen, came to Christ and gave your soul to God, amen, you are saved. Amen. Like I told the two young men, amen. I remember a few weeks ago because, people will try to tell young people they ain't saved. Because what they're doing, and like I tell people, you don't have a heaven or a hell to put nobody in. Who are you to tell somebody if they're saved or not? I get so upset. I remember people used to say stuff like that. In fact, I remember, amen, somebody, amen, on my wife's side of the family, he was, supposed pastor, amen, I say, tried to tell me I wasn't saved. Amen. And let me tell you why he said that. Because at the time I had gotten saved, me and my wife were living together. So we was already living together, amen, before we got married. So, honestly, my dad had already talked to me about that. He said, shacking ain't good. That's what the old school say. So they said, shacking ain't good. He said, son, you can get married. And I had gotten saved during this time. And because I had claimed salvation, he tried to tell me I wasn't saved.
Come on now.
Man,
come on.
I said, man, this man is crazy. First of all, who are you to tell me I ain't saved? You ain't God by far. Trust me, you ain't.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. And so he didn't have much to say, but you got to bag people down. You claim your salvation. This is mine. This is my gift. You claim your free gift. Don't let nobody tell you you're not saved just because of how you currently living. Even after you claim your salvation, you ain't going to be, I ain't perfect now. They ain't perfect now. And we will never be perfect in this life. We won't be perfect until Christ come back and give us a new body. We just read that over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. When we'll be changed, we will be made incorruptible. Then you'll have a perfect body. Then your mind will be perfect. See, salvation is a process, and it starts with the confession. It starts with Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. But I also want to come to Christ tonight, if you listen, if you haven't accepted Christ. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Like I told them to the young men a few weeks ago, I want to make it plain and clear. They were brothers. One was 27, the other was 22. I want to make it plain and clear. Don't let nobody tell you you're not saved. Because I understand as a young person, amen, the world is watching you. The world wants to judge you when you're young because of where you go, because of what you may do. The world is quick to judge. Oh, I thought you said you was this. Don't let nobody tell you not saved. Salvation is a process. Amen. It's not overnight. The perfection that we talked about earlier, which in the Greek, that word perfection is translated mature. The maturity takes time. See, Paul said, when I was a child, I thought I was a child.
Yeah.
Amen. So in other words, when you're a child, I don't think the same as I did when I was 5 or 10 or 15 years old or 25 years old. You mature throughout your life, throughout the years. There are things that you grow out of. Amen. It may take a little time, but you do mature. Amen. That's what salvation is. You grow out of things.
Yes, sir.
If you talk a certain way, amen, God can deliver you from that. God will grow you out of that. Say, you know what? I'm tired of acting like this. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of talking like that. Tired of going to these places. And God will deliver you. God is a deliverer. Don't think because we say, once you save, I always say that we are excluding, amen, your walk. No, we're not excluding your walk. But we know that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that because the scripture says so in Ephesians